21 to 9, it's time for questions at Without Notice here on SEN Breakfast. New ball is going with who this morning, gents? Who wants to fire the first one down?
I've got a little piece of audio here, gents. I might play this. The Herald Sun's asking for the best 50 marks of the last 50 years. I want to get a couple that immediately spring to mind. It is questions Without Notice of your favourites over the last half a century. One of the ones I just always come back to, I love Nick Riewoldt's mark at the SCG. That, to me, would be right at the pointy end for other reasons. But at the other end of the spectrum, the elevation on this mark from Gary Moorcroft and the excitement that it still brings when you raise it. But this was on the night itself, Bruce McAvaney.
Unbelievable mark!
That is going to be on bars, and that's going to be in the on pub walls for the next 100 years, that side-on shot.
I tell you how good it is. It'll be on CNN. That was unbelievable.
CNN, Tim.
When he goes guttural...
You know it's big.
It's big.
And he's excited.
It's big.
It was a big mark, wasn't it? Have you got one that comes to mind?
Well, the Nick Riewoldt one.
Yep.
And I think we were reminded that in more recent time because we were making the comparison between that and the Liam Ryan mark and others that have been taken this year. But you go back... That actually takes your breath away, that Nick Riewoldt mark.
And Brownie was in the same conversation as well. Jonathan Brown, MCG against Hawthorn.
Mm. That is a great mark. And then you think of, you know, like the Ablett marks, and he took so many of them. Jeremy Howe does a
weekly
super
basis.
The Sampy mark at the MCG that day.
It was an unenviable task for them to sit down and do it. So 50 marks, you got one for us, Jack?
I loved it. It's not going to be the most high-flying mark, but when the stakes were what they were, Brendan Goddard's mark in the grand final. Just for what it meant at what stage of the game. It won't win any contest, but, gee, it was fantastic.
That's a good – to put it into context like
exactly.
that's a very good point that you make. And that's the same with the Leo Barry one that we watched again the other day.
Yeah,
that is right – like, that's an extraordinary pack mark at a critical stage of the game.
And the siren
a
game-saving goes,
mark.
Yeah, what, 5 seconds later the siren goes? Unbelievable.
What else have you got there, Sam?
Okay, I want to ask you, is sending Jordan De Goey to Germany by Collingwood a complete waste of money?
No, it's not a complete waste of money. The way they're talking, the language that they're using, it's a Hail Mary. Nathan Buckley said exactly the same thing yesterday. I don't think that they have an expectation that he's going to come back and play this year, but I think they are concerned about what is the problem associated with him getting these hamstring injuries.
Right, so if he gets
up
for
they need to clear that up as well.
If he gets up in the short term, an unexpected bonus or a Hail Mary, as Buck says, and Jamie Elliott early, but it's more about just as much about the long term, obviously, next year.
I think it's interesting the language they're using around this too. They're not creating any expectation. In fact, they're dousing any expectation that he's going to be back again this year. So I think they've taken a stance as a club to say, okay, we don't want to be asked these questions over. They don't want the Jordan De Goey return to be the story. So I think they're trying to say, okay, if he does come back, and it's highly unlikely, we would consider playing him. But at this stage, we just don't think he's going to come back and play.
Sam, I have one for you. We're talking about Jack Martin earlier. Could the Gold Coast make this trade to Carlton difficult?
Oh, of course. But I don't think they will. I mean, history says when a player wants to leave and he's out of contract and has nominated a club of choice, they just happen. I think they'll happen. I think there'll be a common ground reach there. I don't think the Suns will get a first-round pick. They'll definitely ask for one and they'll try it on. But when it comes to the crossroad moment, and we've seen them go to the last half hour, they generally, the whip hand lies in the club that's getting the player.
Well, ancillary, that's how it's done, isn't it? Ancillary question?
Yes. Yeah, that's how it's
what
done.
What if the Bulldogs got in touch with the Gold Coast Suns and said, we'll give you a first-round pick for him?
Yeah, but the player doesn't want to go there. And this gets into a whole big debate about, you know, do the players have too much control? When the player doesn't want to go there. The player's made his decision. So, you know, that's a whole other debate. That's an ancillary upon an ancillary upon an ancillary.
A lot of nominations coming through for the greatest mark that people have seen out there. Moorcroft has to be number one. Sean Smith at the Gabba. Jeremy Howe's last 50 marks. Michael Mitchell at the MCG. You remember that one?
No.
The Richmond Michael Mitchell.
No.
Oh, okay.
Can't recall.
I forget how young some of you blokes are.
Well, Andrew Walker was one at the G that a lot of people remember from not too long ago against Essendon.
Paul Popolo, Brett Allison, 1991 underrated mark. That's from Phil.
It was an underrated mark.
It was. Should you be allowed to wear a $250,000 US watch when you play an NFL game? Odell Beckham, who now is playing for the Cleveland Browns, went out and played at the weekend with a watch, a specially made watch valued at $250,000. The NFL now have said no. It's a hard object. We don't mind players wearing jewellery, but you're not allowed to wear a watch.
What jewellery are you allowed to wear?
Chains. Players wear chains around their neck.
As long as it's tucked in underneath the... Well, so it's a $50 watch, it'd be an automatic no, because it was $250,000, they're
just
giving
the
a game.
No, it's just the watch. Yeah. It's just the watch.
No, you can't be wearing that. Surely you can't be wearing that. Can you? What is he going to know what time? Why did he need to wear the watch? Just check out the time halfway through the third period? Or
I suspect it's more of a promotional deal that he may
have
on the side.
Work with me, work with me.
I'm not sure that he was worried about how long there was to go in the fourth quarter. Okay. I don't think it was one of those watches.
No, okay. Well, hopefully he got to wear it once. Hopefully it was worth it.
And follow up to that, the NBA have also told players that they can no longer wear the ninja-style headwear. Sam, you across this? Number of players, these things start to creep into games, don't they? Michael Jordan, I think, who was the first player? Was it Iverson?
Iverson had the sleeve.
The shooting sleeve,
yeah. The shooting sleeve. Then everyone started to wear that. Okay?
Now Fife wears it.
Yeah. Exactly. But it starts to creep in. And so what happened this year was last season, players started to wear this ninja-style headband dress with their uniforms. Their uniform people at the NBA have decided, nah, we're not going to give this a tick. You can no longer wear these next season.
If you're coaching Geelong this week, Wisp, how do you approach Rhys Stanley? Do you give him a cuddle and say, mate, we just got it wrong, apologise? Or do you say, prove it to me? Prove it to me. Make yourself an automatic inclusion every week.
I think that's the way. I think that he clearly feels that he doesn't have the support of that coaching staff because of the decisions they've made. I think that's the only way that you can go about that. And then you say, okay, you prove to us. You prove to us that we have made the wrong assessment. We've made the wrong decision. You prove to us that you should have been out there last Friday night. The ball is back in your court. And not only if you can prove it to us this week and you can prove it to us the following week and maybe you can prove it to us in the grand final.
Yep.
There's a place here. You know how desperate we are for a ruckman at Geelong. Make it your spot. There's the opportunity for you right now to make that your position.
All right, Tim's coaching Geelong. Jack, you're coaching GWS. Who does your side target this week? If you went after Bontempelli on the weekend, who do you put the crosshairs on at the Brisbane Lions at the Gabba?
It's a very, very good question, Sam. Tim Kelly.
No, GWS Lions.
Lions. Lockie Neal.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You would be, if you're Lockie Neal.
You're locking on him.
You're locking in on him. And I reckon if you're Lockie Neal, you're thinking about it this week. So maybe part of the damage is already being done, but that's where they're headed.
They went after more than one player last week against the Bulldogs.
And we know Matt DeBoer's going to lock down on someone. That's his, that's his only role. And then we've got Toby Green laughing almost at the question outside the tribunal. Are you going to change the way you play? They're not going to change anything, Wisp.
Well, that's an interesting point that you raise because they haven't done that before. Okay, they haven't gone after teams like they did the Bulldogs at the weekend. And everybody was taught in the lead up to the game, you know, there was that three great midfield. Well, and they went after Hunter as well on the outside. So do they do that? They can still go after the Lions with the same aggression, but tactically it'll be different this weekend because of the strengths of the Lions, maybe compared to the strengths of the Bulldogs last week.
Maybe. It's a young team, the Lions, though, as well. They're not too dissimilar to the Dogs.
So but I'm talking about playing players on that way around their midfield selections. I'm not talking about the aggression and the attitude that they bring towards the game, but can they replicate that? I reckon that's one of the great unknowns going into this game.
Could be a letdown.
Well, there could be, or did players believe so strongly in what they did last weekend, the attitude that they brought to that game, that they now are all sold on that as being the weapon that they need to use against Brisbane at the weekend?
Because you rightfully mentioned Lockie Neal, but they've got a young kid on the wing who's had a fantastic season in Hugh McCluggage. I mean, do they go after someone like...
Well, Reed might go after him.
Yeah.
Reed went after Hunter on the wing. And the other, you know, like, they've got a... Well, don't forget Zorko in all this too.
Yep.
Like, Zorko's a really important player.
What finals moments, this is to all of you, of course, 1300 736 736 or 0433 98 11 16. I'm only here filling in for Gary, but what finals moments do you want us to flash back to on the show next? This is a question without notice for both of you. Is there a finals moment that you'd love to spend a little bit of time on in the next little while?
Well, I grew up backing for
That's
Carlton.
That's a tough question without notice. Jack. They're the sorts of questions you give notice to before you say it's a question without notice.
I thought it was
notice.
Questions without notice.
I grew up backing for Carlton. So my favourite finals moment was the 99 preliminary final when Wallace was tackled with 15 seconds left by Fraser Brown in the middle of the MCG, not just for that unbelievable moment in isolation, but everything around that game. I mean, it was the same day that Steve Bracks got up in the election. Jeff Kennett lost the unlosable election. Essendon were unbackable favourites. And for Carlton to win that by a point, that was one of my most memorable finals moments. Wisp, have I bought you enough time there?
84, 85, 93.
And he says,
I just wish that somebody had have taped the pre-game meeting of 1993
at the grand final.
At the grand final,
what happened?
Well, it was just the Sheed's speech and the way that he built the picture and all that type of thing. Because he had this, going back to his Richmond, he had this deep-seated hatred of Carlton. Like Richmond and Carlton hated each other. And he brought that with him when he came to Essendon, and he always provided a sense and a story around that anytime we played Carlton.
Do you remember it in detail? Because if Alistair Clarkson used the analogy of the shark in 2008, and Geelong are the shark, and the shark has to keep moving to survive, but we're going to stop the shark. Did Sheeds use an animal or some sort of?
Well, he used the fact that Carlton were the might of the USA. And we were fighting guerrilla warfare because we were the Viet Cong.
Fair dinkum. You were the Viet Cong.
Yeah. And we just had to pick them off.
Yep. And it worked.
It was always back.
You didn't pick them off. You pretty much just annihilated them off the face.
Back in those days, like, you got to remember, Carlton was the blue bloods. You know, like, they had the money. You know, the Pratts and the Elliots and that type of thing. And, you know, they flaunted that. And for Sheeds, who came from the back streets of Richmond, the working class,
that's interesting.
It really, it was,
and did
really
it resonate? Did it resonate with you as a
he
player?
He made it resonate with us. He made it resonate with us. Like, whether you believed it or not, he was very good at being able to sell a message to us as a group of players.
And that's the art of coaching, isn't it? Like Luke Beveridge, when they won in 2016, there was the first year they did the parade a different way, and it took his mind back to when the Beatles came to Melbourne. So when it came to grand final day, and he was struck by that as a kid watching the Beatles, he said to his players, you don't have to be anything and everything, just bring an instrument. You all bring one instrument, and together we have a band.
I like it.
I like that
not
a lot.
Not quite as powerful as a Viet Cong.
I like that
something.
A lot. Together we all have a band. Questions without notice for Ryko Filters. Insist on Ryko Filters, the professional's choice. Thank you, Sam. As we head to the break, Tim, you spoke about 1993, so we thought we'd go digging back through the archives and pick something random.
Centre-half back for Adelaide. Very important possession. Watson's got it. Watson goes for goal.